Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter. We're continuing in our series on precious things. We talked about trials being precious, and last week the blood was precious, amen? And this morning we're talking about our cornerstone is precious. Second chapter of 1 Peter, we're going to look at verses 4 through 8 this morning. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, we have a passage about Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. That phrase or that word cornerstone appears 6 times in the Bible, 3 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the New Testament. Part of what's being quoted here in this passage is taken directly from Isaiah 28:16. And it's also referred to by Christ in Matthew. It's a prophetic picture of the Messiah in the Old Testament who's coming as the cornerstone. When God uses these words, they carry with them the thought of that which is the support, that which can be built upon. It means the bedrock of a foundation. In our text, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Amen? He is a support for the church. He is that which the church is built on. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when we consider this thought of our cornerstone, our precious cornerstone, because it is precious, there are just 3 things we're going to look at. Number one, we're going to look at our cornerstone is the foundation of our faith. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? Our cornerstone is the foundation of our faith. Secondly, our cornerstone ensures, listen very carefully, ensures or guarantees spiritual provision. Amen? And then number 3, our cornerstone, and listen to this, is only precious to those who believe. And this passage we're going to look at really shows us this statement. And listen to this statement. Jesus Christ is the great divide. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the great divide. So number 1, our precious cornerstone is the foundation of our faith. Look at verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. I love that phrase. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Christ. This verse is a clear statement of foundation. Let me read it again. Ye also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Foundational. Your priesthood is foundational in Christ. Your spirituality is foundational in Christ. Your lively or living ability to follow Christ as a living stone is foundational in Christ. This verse is setting a standard. Amen? There's only one foundation. There aren't many. My faith, the songwriter wrote, has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. He is our foundation. And I think that there's at least three things about this foundation that are important. Number one, the quality of the foundation. He is called in verse 6, the chief cornerstone. Listen to this. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, all God's people said. The word chief denotes the most important one. Amen? There aren't 10 chiefs. In a tribe, there's one. Amen? In our tribe, there's only one. He's the chief cornerstone, or the highest, most valuable, prestigious one. He is the chief cornerstone, the most important, the one the building can't be built without. Amen? The church is built upon this chief cornerstone. It's not, as some believe, built upon Peter. No. They always quote 16th chapter of the book of Matthew and say, well, Jesus, when he was talking there, said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. But if you understand the principle and the position of the words in that verse, here's what Christ's saying. Thou art Peter, small stone, a pebble. That's what that word means. And upon this rock, granite rock, he pointing to himself, Jesus, I will build my church. Amen? It's not built on that puny little rock, Peter. He was a wonderful man, a godly man, but he's not the foundation of the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. He's the chief cornerstone. Our faith rests upon the same chief cornerstone as the apostles. Without Christ, we would be without faith. He's the chief cornerstone. Without Christ, we'd have no doctrine. He's the chief cornerstone. Without Christ, there would be no resurrection. He's the chief cornerstone. Without Christ, there's no sacrifice for our sin. He's the chief cornerstone. No principles to live by. He's the chief cornerstone. No hope either in this life or the next. He is the chief cornerstone. We can't miss that. God put it here for a purpose. He wanted you to understand, and he declared emphatically that we might recognize who Christ is in our foundational faith. He is the chief cornerstone. Secondly, he's called the head of the corner. Look down at verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. That's the verse next week. Amen? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, that word disobedient means they don't follow, they reject. those that are disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed to turn away from, would not accept. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jews rejected Christ, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The same is made the head of the corner. This is an interesting word. It means the only true, completely reliable one. It's the one you can rely on. Amen? Years ago, let me illustrate it for you. Years ago, I was in Capernaum in the Holy Land. We had crossed the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. We went up and we landed on the coastline there and went ashore to Capernaum. We walked around in some of the ruins in Capernaum. And we came into this one ruin, and there was a wall that was standing pretty high and another smaller wall that was still standing. These two walls were connected. And we were all looking at this structure that was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. And the guide that was with us said, "Do you see that stone at the bottom?" And it was a large stone. It was probably 10 feet long and, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet wide, about 10 inches thick, was there. And then it had been carved in a right angle, and it went another 4 or 5 feet down the other side. Here's this big, beautiful stone. He said, "Do you know what that is?" And one fellow said, "That's the cornerstone." He said, "Well, it is, but that's not what it's termed. That's not what it would be termed in a building project." So when they were building this building, or building old buildings back then, they always put one of these in. He said, "It's called the headstone." He said the headstone was the most important piece of that structure. When they put it in to hold the walls together. It was the thing that all the other blocks relied upon to stand straight. He said, if you remove that headstone, this thing would fall apart. It would crumble. The whole building would. He said the headstone is the most reliable part of the building. It is absolutely essential to this building. It is necessary to this building. It must be here for this building. Christ is the head of the corner. Isn't that a great picture? He's the head of the corner. We need only and always to rely on him, all God's people said. Our faith in him is necessary, but our faith in him is a reliable faith. Write that down. It will not falter, it will not fail, because it is built upon a sure head stone. Christ is the cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone, the head of the corner. And then I want you to notice, secondly, that the kind of foundation that the cornerstone is. Look at verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. It's described here as a living stone, all God's people said. Aren't you glad we don't have a dead leader? If you could find Buddha's burial place, you would find a dead body, decomposed already. Buddha's dead. Confucius is dead. All the gods that have lived and were made gods are dead. The Islam religion, Muhammad is dead. You can go to the garden spot this very day in Israel and walk there to the tomb, and you will find it empty. There's no dead body there. Christ rose from the dead. He is a living stone. I love that picture. He lives. We have a living foundation to build our faith upon. It's not some stagnant faith. It's not some philosophy of life. The world thinks we just are leaning on a crutch all the time. And the crutch is some philosophic bent we have or belief we have, so it makes us feel better about some of the things we do or don't do. If that's religion, I don't want anything to do with it. If that's Christianity, phooey on it. We don't need that. But if you have a living Savior, a living stone, and you're built upon that foundation, the moment you connect to Him, you are alive as you've never been alive before. Then I want you to notice the credentials of our foundation. Look at verse 4 again. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Who are you going to rely upon? The whim of man? Pharisees? They all had problems. The high priest? Problems. The religious elders and leaders of the day? Problems. The Sanhedrin, the highest court of Jewish law, problems. They liked their law as imperfect as it was. And then they had a whole bunch of traditions of washing of plates and cups and saucers and nonsense and your feet and your hands and all of these things you had to keep. Holy days. And when Christ came, He didn't seem to fit their picture. He messed with their theology. They didn't understand Him. They didn't get Him. He came and in 3.5 years fulfilled all the law. Was a perfect man, lovingly and kind and tender and compassionate and precious. And they couldn't get by that. They disallowed Him, they rejected Him, they said, He's not the Messiah. We won't believe Him. We will not follow Him. And it so upset them, and they got so anxious in their heart and so hateful in their response, they killed Him. They put Him to death. And it's almost like when they did that, they went, pulled up their long coats and went back to the temple and thought everything was fine. Well, for them, maybe 3 days. There's an old saying, Friday happened, but Sunday's coming. Amen. And on Sunday, up from the grave, he arose. Amen. Can't you imagine then? Caiaphas. They said Jesus was talking to people out in the public. Oh, you knothead, you don't believe that. Where are those guys, those soldiers? Bring them here. Well, we saw an angel. We're going to pay you a whole bunch of bucks to lie about this now, fellas. You're going to make up this myth. They couldn't stand admitting that they were wrong. And if they were wrong, they were in trouble. They rejected the Prince of Peace, the greatest person ever to walk in shoe leather. He was rejected as unworthy to be their foundation. It says, disallowed of men, but, and I like this next phrase, you want to know his credential? Chosen of God. All God's people said. It doesn't matter what men think or what men say or the direction they think they need to go in. That doesn't matter. What matters is what are you going to do with Jesus? God stamped his approval on his son. He gave him as a ransom for many. He rose from the dead with power and great glory. He's the head of the church. He went back to heaven for a while, and he's coming back someday, maybe pretty soon. And every single person in the world has a choice to disallow him or accept God's provision of him. His credential is chosen of God. It's amazing to me what men build their faith upon. The Pharisees tried the law. They wanted traditions. Priests was the same way. Temple leadership was the same way. Men built their faith upon sinking sand. Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. You know her as Mary Eddy, but Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. She was married 5 times. Church of Christ Scientists. Nonsense. Charles Taz Russell. Jehovah's Witnesses. Nonsense. Joseph Smith. Mormons. Nonsense. The foundation is not a man-established thing. Men rejected it. It's a God-established thing. God chose it. The credentials are impeccable. People build their lives on wealth, material things, relationships. All of them or a poor substitute for the real foundation. Though men reject Christ, God has chosen him and established him as the only true foundation of the faith. Without him, faith fails. He is chosen of God. Now that credential is an absolute positive plus and something worth living for, all God's people said. Amen. Number two, that was just point one. Is that all right? Number two, our precious cornerstones ensures spiritual provision. Listen to verse 5 again. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, all God's people said. Amen. This is spiritual foundation, a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. When we put our faith in this bedrock foundation, listen very carefully. I like to call it our rock of ages, amen? Then we pass from death unto life, all God's people said. When you put your faith, listen very carefully, when you put your faith in Christ, that bedrock foundation, you pass from death unto life. You are now a living stone. Verse 5, as living stones. John 10:10, the word of God says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Listen very carefully. Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life and you might have it more abundantly. A full realmed spiritual life, full of promise, full of anticipation of what God's going to do, full of provision, spiritual life. You may be poor as a church mouse. You may not have two nickels to rub together, but if you're a believer, you're a rich man. Because your richness is not based upon physical, material things. It's based upon the person of Christ, your foundation, who saved you, gave you life and spiritual ability, and he's coming back to get you, to take you where he is. All this spiritual truth is yours in Christ, and it's 10 billion times more valuable than all the gold in the Western Hemisphere. All God's people said. Bible say anything like that? Yeah. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then what? Vanishes away. There's not much here. If this is all there is, and people build, gather, and gather, and build to get more, to get more, to get more, then they die, and guess what? They leave it all here anyhow. There's no hearses going to the cemetery with U-Hauls behind them. All God's people said. We are made in him the moment we get saved, living stones. But we are also made in him, in verse 5, a priesthood, all God's people said. Listen to what it says. A holy priesthood. What does that mean, Pastor? Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? He's dying on the cross. And he paid the payment for the cross. paid the payment for our sin on the cross. And the temple, in the temple, the covering of the Holy of Holies, that great curtain, was torn in half from top to bottom. All God's people said. Amen. Do you know the weight of something that enormous could never happen that way? It's impossible, scientifically impossible. It would never have torn from top to bottom. It would have torn from the bottom to the top. The weight on it would have been so great, it would have pulled this way, all God's people said. Now, why is it so important that it tore from top to bottom? Because God tore it. And where's God at? He's at the top. He was saying, I am opening up this place, not man. And he opened up the Holy of Holies, and the moment that happened, we had complete and free access to God like the Old Testament priest did only once a year. And now we as priests before God can go into the Holy of Holies any time we want and talk to God. It's called the throne of grace. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Man, back in the Old Testament, you didn't go boldly to the throne, to that Holy of Holies. You came within inches of that. You're a dead man. Now we just walk right in, all God's people said. Good morning, Lord. How you doing? Fine. We have direct access. We no longer need a man to intercede for us. We now can go directly into the presence of God because of Him, our cornerstone. Our spiritual position is made complete in Him. Well, He also makes us spiritual servants. He provides for us spiritual service, all God's people said. Verse 5, ye also as living stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices, all God's people. When you come into this place and you worship like we're doing now, you're offering up spiritual sacrifice to God. You're participating in something that God in Christ directed and made happen. It's called church. Church isn't just some place you come and dress up, wear a nice hat and look neat and then leave. You know, they used to sell pews. I don't know if they did here. They used to sell pews. You may have sold them to raise money, but I mean, they used to sell pews. You could buy them. The closer you got, the more valuable the pew. And some of those pews were locked. You had to have a key to get in that pew. I mean, it was really prestigious to own that pew. Kind of like in Proverbs where the guy snuck up in front and sat in the front and then the guy said, you don't belong there, go to the back. Remember that? Well, that's why they did that. People were thumping their chests and saying, look at me. I'm in pew number 3. Where do you sit? I'm on a stool in the back pew 1231. There's not a pew in here that's not important. Because it doesn't have anything to do with the dumb pew. Amen? It has to do with the person sitting there. You are important to God. And God saved you, made you a living stone. God saved you, gave you a priesthood. God saved you, gave you spiritual purpose. God saved you and gave you spiritual service. Not just a purpose, but service. And you're here today serving. It's a wonderful picture. You now are able to do spiritual work, all God's people said. You know the difference between an unsaved person who takes a sandwich to a poor guy and a Christian that takes a sandwich to a poor guy? One is human service. I'm glad they're kind, but that's all it is. One is spiritual service. That's different. Because you're taking it to him because God said, if you'll just take a cup of water, of cold water in my name, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Spiritual service. And when you do that, you're not just thinking about that person's need for a sandwich. Maybe he's hungry. But there's a greater hunger in his heart. That's a need for someone who says, I love you. I died for you. I want you. We're concerned not just about feeding him physically. We're concerned about feeding him spiritually. It's spiritual work. Then lastly, our cornerstone is only precious to those who believe. Verses 7 and 8. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Don't you love that phrase? He is precious. But there's a difference. Unto them which be disobedient. That just like saying they're sinners. They're rejectors. They're Christ deniers. The stone which the builder disallowed, they rejected him, the same is made the head of the corner. Our head, all God's people said. So you either have a head of the corner, you're the following him, or the next verse says, here's what he becomes to others. To you he's the head, to others he's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. People stumble at the cross. They stumble at the mention of his name. They stumble at his offer of salvation. They don't get it. They're rebellious. They're disobedient. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. It's hard for me to watch sometimes. In fact, my wife will turn the TV off. When you get in maybe some of those morning shows, I don't know any particular, but they get somebody on there like Franklin Graham, and they start just peppering him with silly questions and, oh, you can't believe that. Oh, you don't really believe that. You think you're got the only message, da 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 da. About 10 minutes into one of those things, I'm boiling over. I'm heated up. I have to take a Valium or something. I got to calm down. I get so upset about. Then they get some guy in there that's supposed to believe and doesn't believe, like Joel Osteen. He doesn't believe anything. Don't you follow that knothead. He's made money off of foolish people. Millions of dollars. Off of foolish people. He does not believe that Christ is the answer to man's problems. He believes that you're the answer to your problem. He gets on there and they ask him questions. Well, do you think that yours is the only way, or there? Oh, no, no, no. Everybody that tries to do good is going to, God's going to love them and take care of them. And that's not what this verse says. All God's people said. Christ is either the head or he's a stumbling block. One of the two. He's the great divide. Just because a person's wrong-headed doesn't make him right. Amen? The answer is cornerstone, Christ. The answer is head of the corner, Christ. The answer is chief cornerstone, Christ. Amen? He's the one. He's the one we follow. If you don't follow him, you're in trouble. He'll become a stumbling block to you. You'll stumble at the word. You won't get it. Someday when you take your last breath in this life and you open your eyes in the next life, you'll realize I stumbled. How could I stumble over that? Because you were blinded. The God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious message of the gospel would come unto them. He's a great divide. Lord, help us to love you, our precious cornerstone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.